Welcome to the Super Live Adventure Podcast! Chris Sorrentino.
I'm John Saluga, and with us today
is Sal Vulcano. Hey! I don't know if I was supposed to scream that.
Yeah, you can. Wait,
have you been doing that? That wasn't in the beginning. You didn't do that. How long?
No.
You've been doing that for how long now? Probably it'll be like 7 years. Oh my god.
Probably that. Yeah. But you were on like 10 years ago.
Yeah, I was on more than once. I think.
One time.
Was it only one time?
One time.
Because I remember it. It was fun. It was live.
It was live.
But I wasn't on a not live one as well.
No.
Just,
wow.
Just that
well,
one.
It feels like yesterday, fellas. Here's what I remember. I remember that I think I told a story or we talked about something that I normally don't talk about. And I don't mean in a way like I revealed something. I just mean like a good story that you always forget. You ever remember a story like, oh shit, I haven't told that or thought about that in so long.
I thought that was kind of something.
I always associated it to that first one, but maybe who knows, maybe it was nothing.
Yeah, I haven't listened in a long time, but I remember like the frozen goldfish story.
Oh, maybe that was one. Yeah, I still have that.
No way.
Did I have the frozen goldfish then?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's in my freezer right this second.
It still is?
Right there. Holy I actually opened it for the first time and only time ever last 2 years ago when I started my podcast. I had told the story to them, and I was like, let's just open it. And I opened it live on camera.
No way.
Yeah. For those. If you didn't catch my first episode. Episode 4. No, I goldfish I had for like 6 or 7 years died, and I felt bad to flush them, and I was going to bury them in the yard. But then I thought it would smell because it wasn't my home. It was I was the tenant. Yes. And so I put them in the freezer for a later date, I guess. And then it never came. And I have that right now in my freezer. I have that frozen fish, and I opened it, and it was very sad. The eyes were kind of like gone. In a way, kind of gone.
It's an experiment.
But the body was there.
Okay.
But it was like maybe like 10% of the gold that he was.
Oh.
It was like it kind of like faded a little bit. Like half the gold. Oh. It was a goldfish.
That's really fucking weird.
It was very sad. And then I just didn't understand really what was going on in my life. Was I supposed to keep that in there, or do I just throw it away now? What am I really doing?
You've moved with this. That's what's crazy, right? Yeah. Like this is, you put this in a cooler to move it to a new house and put it in
I moved it with the food.
Wow.
Yeah, I moved
you
it.
You gotta.
Yeah, I moved it. And I moved it maybe twice.
It's coming along. No, definitely. I'm coming along on some adventures.
Let me think of my house. No, I'm. Oh man, yeah, I moved it twice. I moved it twice. Yeah,
and you won't flush it because that was
at this
up,
point.
Why would you?
At this point, I'm not really sure what's going on.
It's got to be buried with you.
Yeah,
when you
with
go.
You.
That's
you
got
to shove him in a freezer. But
one of the reasons
he lost his color 10 years later.
His eyes look weird.
Yeah,
one of the reasons. Kind of maybe, but probably not, that I was holding on to it, and I think I'm just holding on to it because I have issues, but like was that I was gonna do like a funeral for him.
First
for real, then for fun, and then a ticketed event. For the podcast.
Gold tie event.
Yeah, so we were gonna do a whole ceremony with speakers and everything, and
holy shit,
people sent me fish coffins in the mail.
Yeah,
fish coffins.
Good for you.
And
I have fish coffins, plural.
Yeah, yes, I have a wooden and a plastic one. The plastic one has a picture of a fish on it, and I have both because I'm not really sure which one I want to lay him to rest in.
Sure,
but at this point, I really don't know. I do want to do that. And I haven't written a bit about it yet, but at this point, I don't know. I just feel like after all that, why would I throw him out now?
Yeah. I like an event.
Like, shouldn't I have him when I'm like 80 and be like, this fish died 55 years ago? right? Like, what is the end point here? I don't know. Or I could bequeath him to someone after I pass.
That's true, too.
I like the idea of
as the bells go off.
Yeah.
Oh, right next to the sign. Bridge. To sign from the bells.
Yeah, right?
I like an event too. I like.
I do like. I get the, you know, sentimentality. You don't want to let go of it, but if you do it in one big swoop, one big event, I think. That's
yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
A defrosting.
This is ominous. The bell tolls for this guy.
Shit. You didn't freeze it in water, right? Like it's not.
No, it's wrapped in tin foil. It's in the freezer in tin foil. Yeah. Yeah. I think in the next few years I'm gonna move. I think, and then I'll have a yard finally. I don't have one.
Yeah.
And I think that when I have my own property, I'll bury him or her. I don't even know if it's a girl or a guy.
Who knows?
In my yard.
Okay.
This is a weird question. So if like just say power went out and like you knew you weren't gonna have a fridge up and running for like several days.
I would have to make moves.
Yeah, would
I'd have
you?
To. You'd have
that
to.
That would be a priority. Can, you
know, even for like hygiene or cleanliness, I don't know, whatever. Like, yeah, I don't know, should that thing be rotting in with the rest of the food?
No, no. But I'm saying, but you wind up throwing so much shit out.
If there's a fire, I grab my Don Rickles autograph picture off the wall and the fish. That's what I grabbed. How That's ridiculous perfect. And ironic is this that this was the story I told on this podcast 10 years ago, and we're just doing it again. So funny.
We've come full circle.
Yeah, I want to know that, like, the long-time listener who's like, oh, come on, I heard this.
Heard this already.
The fucking goldfish.
Yeah. Sorry, Rob.
I had killed a fish prior to that I think left a scar with me because they used to always just croak those fish like really easily. So yeah. When I was a kid, I didn't really understand that you needed a filtration system and proper food. No one really did. And my parents, I don't think, bothered to even tell me. So like you used to throw a golf ball in like a thing at a fair at school.
Yeah.
And they just come home with a bag of them, right? And they would just always like die. And I remember at one point I was like, I can't keep having these things die. I feel bad. But I didn't understand what it would take to keep it alive. I thought it was just bubbles. Not air, bubbles. And so I came home, and my mom wasn't home yet from school, and I put it in a salad bowl with tap water.
Okay.
And I broke chunks of Wonder Bread for it to eat. And it would eat it and like shoot it right back out. And then I was like, it needs bubbles or it's going to die. So for like 3 hours... until my mom got home from work, I got a straw and just blew into the salad bowl, blowing CO2 into this fish. And then by the next day or that night, the fish died. And I was like, I gave it water, food, and bubbles. Meanwhile, I gave it tap water, bread, and CO2. I like literally was murdering the fish slowly.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it stuck with me. And I thought it was because... I named him Harry. I remember this. And every fish I named.
I swear to God, I had a fish named Harry.
No way.
Swear to God, I had a goldfish named Harry as a
fish
kid.
Fish named Harry?
Yeah.
A sequel to Wanda.
I did. I think after I had an Uncle Harry and a Cousin Harry, and it was just that, like, I liked the fish. Name. Yeah. My mom tried to talk me out of it. Like, no, you can't name the fish Harry. You
know, there's too many Harrys. I'll get confused.
Yeah, I had a fish named Harry. Sorry.
No. I was just saying my takeaway was that it dawned on me that I've named every fish and they die immediately. So then when I got the fish that's in my freezer, I was like, I'm not going to give him a name. And so for the 6-7 years I had the fish, I just called it fish.
Hey,
and he lived seven
he
years.
Lived.
Well, I did have a proper setup for him, though.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, one of the way I murdered another fish.
Oh, Jesus.
I got some buddies for him over the years. He outlasted all of them.
Okay.
But I got various fish that were allowed to be in there. And you know those Japanese...
They were allowed?
Well, you know, like, it's like, I don't know, it's like a prison yard. Some of them you can't have together.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
They get, like, you
yeah.
know. And, I got a Japanese fighting fish. Now, those you can't have two of those.
Can't have those. No. Those are in the. So when you walk into the pet store, they have those like separate in their bowl. Yeah,
they're
they
separate,
can't...
like they're in prison.
Yeah, they really are. They're in solitary.
You
they
can't
don't
trust
mix.
Them.
Yeah,
yeah. They'll all just start shivving each other. So, yeah. So
don't
I
put them in bottom.
It was a lot. So I got the fish, and then I when I used to have to clean it, and you guys, if you know, have your fish tank, you take the fish and. Some of the water that's in the tank,
yeah.
Put it in another thing, clean the tank. I use the vinegar or whatever, clean the rocks, put it back in. Then I put the chemicals in, test the water and all that stuff. So I did all that and I put the fish back in, like the handful of fish. And then I put everything back in. And then like I was looking and I didn't see the Japanese blue, it was Japanese fighting fish. The other fish was in there. I didn't see the Japanese fighting fish. I'm like, how is this even feasible? Where is this thing? And then I lifted like the cave that I got, and I had crushed him under the cave when I put the cave into the rocks.
Oh.
Like there was like a treasure chest with a cave, and he just like floated out from that. And I was like, I cannot believe I just did that.
Wow.
I crushed him. I carry right now sadness.
Yeah.
Like I just feel sad about it. Like upset, maybe.
I get it. I would too.
I murdered a living being that was perfectly fine that I was supposed to take care of.
Nah, you know what?
If
you were in that tank with
murdered,
him, you would have tried to fight.
Manslaughtered. Manslaughtered.
Fish slaughter.
I manslaughtered him. Yeah.
He would have tried to fight. If you were fish sized and you were in there with him, he would have tried to kill you.
Yeah, but now we're making like qualifiers. Yeah, I'm not a fish.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to make you feel better.
I manslaughtered that thing.
Did you give him a proper burial?
He's in the freezer treatment.
You know, it just dawned on me. I've only saved one fish, so I guess the rest would just.
No attachment.
I always thought flushing them was wrong. You know, as a kid, my mom would do it, and then I was like, "This is not right."
It's where you shit. Like, it's
My
mother
and
made
where's
a
he
thing.
Going?
My mother made it like it was going back out to
yes,
sea.
Yes, correct.
That's what it was.
Correct.
Where they belong in the ocean with all the
you
other.
You can't believe
with
them.
My turds.
Yeah, it's going out to sea. Like he's gonna shoot out dead, and then like his friends will get him, and they'll give him the proper services.
Turd ocean.
You can't believe your parents did anything. I'm starting to realize now when I reflect, which is when I was little, that they said anything they wanted despite any repercussions it would have.
Yeah.
Like my parents used to say when we wouldn't eat, my parents would be like, if you don't eat, we're taking you to the hospital tonight to get a needle.
Yeah,
like because you're not going to get nutrients, so we had to take you to the hospital to get a needle, and we bought that for the bit like until I was old enough to know that it wasn't. I thought that,
that's
and so
wild.
I would just keep eating because I didn't want to get this needle. That's in a form of terrorism.
Yeah, I'm a dad. I can never imagine.
I don't think they thought anything
other.
But when I think back, I'm like, you're instilling some irrational fear in me, and also changing my relationship with food.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
And with needles.
And
you're making needles even
hospitals.
More.
Yes.
Using hospitals as a threat, because I think parents will do that of like, oh, we need to go to the hospital. Your kid at some point is going to have to go to the hospital. You don't want to establish this like it's a bad place to go. It's a punishment.
Right.
You got to be like they help you.
Right. Like what about when I have to get blood drawn or like whatever? I'm just like, nah.
You
can't.
To go.
My dad said the most fucked up thing with trying to get my brother to eat fish. Ever tell you this?
No.
We were kids.
Yeah.
My father said to my brother at the dinner table, eat it, it'll make your dick fat.
If you were to give me until eternity
to guess what
your father said to him, that would have never come out in eternity.
I guess you never met my father.
Never come out. It's so, and also I love fat instead of big. Crazy.
So wait, does your brother have a fat dick?
No.
Your brother's like, yo, he just drops trout. He's like, guess how much fish I ate, bro. Yeah.
Fattest dick in the sea.
No, me and my brother had that response of
it's like, on his like online profiles. It just says, just FYI, I've eaten a lot of fish my whole life. To the lucky gal
this
out
thing,
there.
Like it's known. It's like,
I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
No, he didn't. We were young where I think the thought of even having a big penis wasn't even a thought.
It was like, why do I need
so
that?
To say fat, my brother had this look of like, that didn't sell my brother on the fish.
Yeah, like to him, fat is probably not like you don't want to be like fat. You know,
you
like
don't
want the kid, someone might make fun of me or whatever.
You, fat dick
you don't
want to
be chub cock as a kid.
There were so many other things that he could have said that would have motivated him better.
Yeah.
Like, it'll make you grow up faster, or, like, it's healthy for you, or, like, you know, I don't know, anything
it'll
but
that.
It'll
make you smarter. It'll make you run faster. Anything other than it'll make your dick
It'll make
you fat.
Dick fat. Yep.
Wow.
Yeah. Unreal. My mother was not at the dinner. This is after the divorce.
Does she know that to this day?
I mean, I don't know if I told her that particular. My father, it's been a lifetime of inappropriate.
Yeah, things. Well, I'll tell you right now, that's a core memory.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that stuck with you.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, here we are, like, 30 years later, and you remembered it. Think about how many memories you have. I think about this all the time. I always try to uncover my newest, longest, oldest memory.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
I have what I think it is.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I have like, I'd say in the ages of 3 to 4, I have a handful. And I'm always trying to uncover. But like, if you think about it, like, well, I don't know how old you are, but like, that's got to be one of your own. Like,
yeah.
You know, I mean, like.
Yeah, it was maybe, we were probably like 9 and 10.
You'd be surprised with how much you think you remember, but less of the story don't remember.
Well, you know what it is? Yeah. Like, you don't have a day-to-day life. You don't remember everything. You don't remember what you did that Thursday in school when you were that age. You know what I mean? Like, whatever. But memories you remember that.
Memory's a funny thing, too. My brother will remember things, but we'll get into arguments over who it happened to. Okay. So I'll remember it as like,
oh, sure.
Dad said whatever to me, and he'll be like, no, that was me.
Yeah, that
and
happens.
There's no, you can't prove anything. Yeah.
That's the problem, too, with like family stories being told over and over again.
Yeah,
like,
they take new lives. They take little tweaks, and then they keep changing.
I wonder sometimes, like, do I remember the moment? Do I remember the story? Do I remember the photograph
of it? This shit I swear I was there for, that I wasn't there.
And you don't know, and we can't tell. Our brain does that. They make the memory. I read this one time. When you access a memory, you're not accessing a lot of times the event, or rather you're accessing the last memory you have of that event.
Interesting.
And so even in your own telling over time, it could change if you don't recall it. Like, there's human error. Like, you know,
sure.
Yeah.
I had a never been able to meditate or anything. I can't quiet.
I tried.
I can't quiet.
I even took
my
classes.
Fucking brain. But the one time I felt like it happened, something close to that, I was in bed and I was like falling asleep. I don't think I was like fully asleep, but sort of in like a dream state. And I imagined the house I grew up in as a kid, and I was going through the house, but dude, I was at like floor level. So I was like, I'd be in my kitchen, but I'm looking up and I'm seeing the bottom of the kitchen cabinets, and I'm looking underneath the couch. It's like little, it's like toddler memories.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Of my first house.
How do you unlock that? I don't know. Someone tell me how.
It was the most. It was insane, like, dude. I woke up crying. I went through my house and then my grandmother's house the same way.
Really?
But everything
you
was
got
like
two houses. I got nothing,
dude. I woke.
What
I got, like,
are you doing?
I got emotional from it. I swear to God, I woke up like teary eyed. Felt so.
We have real. Unaccessed memories for sure.
You have to.
Yeah.
You have to.
It must be something. You know what's crazy? I was just talking about this with someone. So this is the first generation of kids, like this last, what, maybe 10 years, is the first generation of kids that have been documented in this way. Like, my
social
dad has
media,
like 5 pictures of himself.
Yeah.
I have 200 pictures of myself. Maybe.
Yeah.
One, if someone has it, I don't. Maybe one home video. We didn't have a camera, but I remember someone took one once, and I remember seeing it of when I was young, but I haven't seen it in forever. So maybe no video. If you want.
Okay.
There's the kids now, like, they will have so much documented. They'll have tens of thousands of photos.
Yeah.
And hundreds, or if not thousands, of hours of cumulative video.
Yeah.
And they will be able to reflect and remember things completely accurately, because they're going to see it in 4K.
Exactly. And also, like, detailed life events through social media, people posting like my kid's graduation, my kid's this, a birthday, it's this and that. Like, there's like, it's almost like a diary being kept.
Yes.
Like, there's so much shit lost to time in my life because both of my parents are dead and I'm an only child.
Wow.
That there's stuff I will never fucking get back and never know.
I know.
Where I look at, like, even if I drop dead tomorrow, like, my kids could go on my Facebook and see their whole life.
Right.
Sure. Could listen to this podcast and hear their whole
10 years
life.
Right.
It's wild. It's
right.
Weird.
Even that, even this time of documentary, like, even me, like, they get to see me for 10 years doing a pod or television or whatever.
Yeah.
And the other crazy thing is like, you know how, like, your uncle or dad or grandfather or anybody would tell a story. It's like one of their famous stories you've heard, right?
Yeah.
And you realize now, like, your memory of their story is only what you envision in your head. So let's say your dad told you a story, right? And to this day, he knows it. And to this day, you know it. So you both know the same story, but he has the factual, like, he has the imagery in his head of it for real, and you have your conjured imagery of
it. You have the traumatization video.
Yeah, you're remembering the same thing.
Yeah.
But, like, for example, like, oh, the day you were born, whatever, this happened, right? But, like, nowadays, like, you videotape your kid getting born, and when you tell them the memory, they get to access the same visual as you.
Yeah.
So it's no longer they're conjuring the imagery of it. Like, there's so much documentation that you'll be able to share a specific memory exactly the same together, which I don't think that's ever really happened before.
No, because yeah, exactly. Like you're saying, like, you know, your mom, your dad can tell you about the day you were born. They remember the doctor that delivered
right,
you.
Right.
You don't fucking know this guy. Right. You know what I mean? But you have this image in your head of the doctor who delivered you.
Yeah.
But now, yeah, there's like definitive, yeah, actual.
It's
proof.
Crazy. Yeah.
Yeah, I never thought about that.
Yeah.
Freak out.
I know. I know. You know, these are the things I spiral down to when I smoke weed every single night to distract me from the other things that are bothering me.
Yeah. Yeah. Preaching to the choir.
You and me both. You came to weed late.
Oh, yeah. I started in late 2018.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm not even 5 years in.
Yeah, I'm more than that, but still not. It wasn't a thing in my 20s.
Prior to like them selling it in stores, I never bought it. I never rolled it. I never had it on my person. Like, it was always just like, if I ever smoked, like, let's say before 2018, let's say in my entire life, I smoked under 10 times. Like, yeah, someone passed
like
a joint at a concert.
Or something. Yeah,
yeah, or that my friend had a bong one time, and it was like the second time I ever smoked. That was bad news. I didn't know. So the first time I ever smoked, I thought. Actually, it may have been the same night. I was in a park, Clove Lakes Park.
Okay.
And someone had like a blunt or whatever, and they passed it around, and I took a puff, and like, it didn't hit me immediately. And so then I might be conflating something, but the time I do remember it, I went to my friend's house. He had one of those cool moms that didn't care. Like, his room was the attic.
Everyone's got that friend with the cool mom in the attic room. That's awesome.
His room was the attic, and it had like black light.
Yeah.
And he smoked weed. His mom didn't care. And I went up there for a minute, and, We smoked, and I took in a huge 6-foot bong hit, like my second time ever smoking. I don't think I ever felt high before in my life. I blew it out, and then I was like, "Gotta go." I was like, "All right, I gotta go." Like, I didn't understand that I was about to be very high, how high I was gonna get, how fast, and so I left. And then I got in my car. It was a brown Plymouth Reliant K car. You know those driver's ed cars?
Yeah.
I got in my car.
Mine was a Dodge Spirit.
I started to drive away, and I was on Howard Avenue, and I got down to, like, I guess that's Clove Road right there, or how, where Miggy's is, you know?
Yeah, by
St. Wagner and St. John. So I was at Miggy's. I drove, and I was at the light, and it literally took over my whole body. My whole body started to tingle and get numb. And then I remember looking at my hands on the wheel. Hallucinate when you take weed, but like, it was the first thing I ever did, and it was a 6-foot hit. And so my hands, like, I was looking at them like they weren't mine. Like, I couldn't feel them, and they were so tingly and they felt big. I was like looking at them. And then I was like, I can't feel my feet or anything. And I was like, I don't know what to do right now. And I was the first car at the light. And I look into my rear view, and there's a cop car behind me.
Oh!
And I'm like, I can't feel my foot to understand how much I'm even going to push on this pedal right now. And I was like, I'm going to get... Do you understand, to be alone after a 6-foot bong hit, that's your first one ever? And I just didn't know what to do. I had the wherewithal to turn my blinker, and I turned left onto Howard Avenue at the foot of it.
Okay.
At the foot of it. And I just, right there, I turned and parked right there. Like, there was like woods. And I parked like 10 feet up, 20 feet up from Howard Avenue. And the cop went straight, and I shut the car off, and I was like, I can't drive. So now I'm sitting in the car, and it's nighttime. It's like, you know, it's probably like 10, 11, 12. It's night. There's not a lot of cars around at all. So it must have been pretty late. And I'm just like, I'll wait this out. I also don't know how long this is going to take. And I also don't really know. This is a new feeling. I don't even know what's really going on, really. And I was completely positive that a murderer was going to come out of the woods and kill me. So I locked all the doors, but I was like, he's going to smash the window. I'm going to die here. So I was like, you either drive and do your best, or you're going to die. And so I waited till it was a fever pitch of fright. And then I held out as long as I could. And then I somehow managed to drive about 5 more minutes to my girlfriend at the time's house.
Okay.
And I was afraid to even tell her what I did. And I got out of the car and I rang the bell and her brother opened the door and then called her and she came down and she just looked at me and she goes, what's the matter with you? She goes, your eyes are bloodshot. And I just went, I'm so tired. And I guess we were both kind of green to it because I had all the symptoms, like running a checklist, and she didn't even catch on. Because then I was like, do you have food? And then she's like, yeah. And I remember I went in there, I made a heaping bowl of Cheerios, and I had I made like two bagels.
Yeah.
And I just pounded them, and I was just like, I'm just really hungry and really tired. And I never told her. But yeah, so I never really did it. And then like when it started to get like, someone gave me a vape pen.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this is the easiest you're going to make it for me, man. I don't need a lighter. I can smoke inside. I don't have to roll it. This thing's going to last me 6 months at the time.
Yeah.
And so that kind of was my gateway. Now I have thousands of dollars of weed in my house. I'm not even kidding, because my podcast got a sponsor, a weed sponsor, and they gave us like $700 credit each. And my friend, another friend, DeRosa, doesn't smoke. And so I bought $1,400 on credit of weed. But right before that, I had run out and I had my friend mail me some from like, and I spent like $900. So I had like $2,300 worth of weed. I still have it. I won't get through it. I'm giving it away and stuff. But we've come a long way. Do you ever stop just to knock your tolerance down?
Sure.
Yeah. One time I stopped for a few months, and the first joint I had again was like close enough to like the early days.
Yeah.
Where you're like I don't get that ever anymore. You know.
Yeah. I still don't like to do it socially because sometimes that first hour after I smoke is not a fun hour.
Yeah.
I get anxious. I get paranoid.
It depends on the setting, truthfully, because my mind's already going there in general. Like I take medication. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I'm depressed.
Yeah.
I have anxiety, that kind of thing. And so I have like this crazy, we're going to take a turn here, but I have like, you know, fear of death, fear of if loved ones dying, my dad, like I have OCD. And so I get these loops of thoughts. So I already am dealing with shaking stuff like that off. And sometimes when when you're high, you have to like literally be like, oh my God, I'm going down this rabbit hole in my brain and I'm high and I have to stop this right now. Like,
yeah.
One other thing that happens besides that is it takes a certain amount of high, but it's happened to me a good 10 times at least. I can't believe. And I also feel like I've fully lost the ability to be a stand-up comic. I get super nervous and like, I'm like, I can't get on stage. I can't even, what am I even doing? Like, I don't know how to tell jokes. Like I just lucked out. I'm going to get on stage with my jokes. No one's going to laugh. I have a show tomorrow night. I'm not a comic. I can't do this. I don't know what I was thinking. I get freaked the fuck out. And then after it happened a few times, I know enough to be like, just put a pin in this, even if you feel it, because like you'll come down from it and you'll not feel it anymore. But it's a visceral, real feeling.
Yeah.
It's a panic. It's almost like a panic.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. It just feels like, what are you doing?
Have you ever performed high?
Twice by accident, both times, and I'll never do it again. I can't perform high at all.
I never have. Drinking's a different story.
Yeah, drunk is tough too. I like to have a little social drink or a very light buzz, especially when I first started in comedy. I would have a couple of drinks, like a drink before or take a drink up. We would have a couple of drinks because it would just, you know, it would take the edge off a little. And then I would be able to like, you know, have a little bit more nerves, you know, like and just like take chances. But like,
yeah, I did it as almost like a rule. I had my like kind of like two, I would drink scotch.
Yeah.
And I would have two before I went up. And I used to try to time it. And that was, I've told you this before, it was the worst thing when you're about to go up and somebody be like, hey, Suliga, I know we said you were going to go up third. Do you mind? So-and-so's got to get out of here early. And they move you.
Yeah.
Well, they move you. And then, like, I had it down. There's, like, there's a sweet spot.
Yeah.
And then there's a not-so-sweet spot.
Yeah.
You're trying to ride that. It's awful. That's why, like, doing it now, I go up sober now.
Yeah. The few times where, like, you're drinking gets away from you and then you have to get up. And then that's only happened a few times too. I will not let it happen because I forget what I've said. I don't know if I said that bit already. Cause sometimes when you do a multiple spots in a night, it's already confusing.
Yeah.
And like you're drunk and like you literally are like, oh my God, I don't remember what my next bit was or the next line was, or did I just skip a part? And you're thinking all this in your head.
Yeah.
And the last thing you want to do too is slur.
Yeah, you get all sloppy. That's why I don't try to perform drunk but anymore.
The weed happened twice. One time I was at the stand, at the old stand, and we used to smoke weed in like this little back alley thing. And I wasn't on that night. And I was just hanging out and I smoked. And then someone was like, you want to go up?
Sure.
No. And I was like, oh, shit, I'll go up. And I like forgot that I smoked. And it wasn't when I was really, you know, that I didn't have a tolerance. And I went up and I felt like literally everyone was just, well, they were just staring at me.
Yeah.
but I felt it in a different way.
Yeah.
They were staring at me, just like looking into my soul. Like, who is this person and what is he doing?
Yeah.
You know, I was just like looking at everybody and daggers. I was like, oh, I don't like that. And then one other time before that, so do you know Shay? Siobhan? She's on my crew.
On the show. Yeah, on the show.
So she's like a zen, yeah, she's cool. Like a master at the weed.
Yeah.
So one time we were filming and we wrapped and we had a production meeting afterward, and I forgot where we were. It was like in Jersey in Jersey City at like a waterfront restaurant or something. I don't know. And we're having this production meeting. We're all sitting around, like 10 people sitting in a circle, and we're like 30 minutes into this production meeting, and Q turns to me and he goes, "Where did you get that?" And I was eating apple pie. It was in a slice. They put a slice, an individual slice of pie in like a plastic that looks like a shape of a pie, like a triangle. That was on the table.
Yeah.
And I thought it was craft services. I had like two more bites of this goddamn pie. And Q goes, "Where'd you get that?" I was like, "The table." He goes, That's weed. Shay brought that in. That's weed.
Oh.
And I go, "No, you're kidding me." He goes, no, you just ate a whole weed slice of apple pie. Yeah. And he goes, "She gave them out earlier and you weren't here. So we didn't realize to tell you that was that." And then I turned to her and I was like, how much milligrams is it? And she's like, 100 milligrams.
Holy shit.
Yes.
Cleaning persons here.
And I was like, 5 milligrams would have had me on my ass.
Yeah.
So I was like, I literally got nervous. I asked him, I should go to the hospital. I got to the hospital because it didn't kick in yet. But I was like, I'm going to die. And so I didn't know what to do.
Just go to sleep.
I said, I have to go right now. They made a PA drive me all the way home.
I remember this.
You remember this?
I do, yeah.
They made a PA drive me all the way home.
We were
and I rushed home.
Up about this.
I rushed home because I didn't know what tsunami was about to hit me. And I get home and I'm feeling really high and I didn't know what to do and I didn't want to experience it. And so I told my girlfriend, I was like, I'm going to go to bed right now. I'm going to try to go to bed right now. I don't want this to happen. But I had a spot at Gotham Comedy Club that night. And I was like, I didn't want to cancel it. And I was like,
What was the time frame? Like how many hours did
we
you
were probably
have?
Wrapped at like, I would say like 1 o'clock.
Okay.
Maybe. And then I got home by like 2 o'clock, call it. Maybe 3 o'clock. And my spot was at 9:30. And so I went right to bed and I told her I can't miss this spot. You know, like I was playing clubs that I hadn't played before. I didn't want to have a bad reputation.
Sure. Yeah,
I still don't. I actually, to this day, unless it's an emergency, I will never cancel a spot.
Right.
And so I was like, I don't know what to do. I can't cancel the spot. So I was like, I'm going to go to sleep and hopefully I sleep through this and then I'll see what happens when I wake up. And I woke up like at like 8 o'clock and I was fucking high as shit still. And I said, I can't miss this spot. Can you drive me?
Oh,
and then she got me in the car high, drove me from like an hour from there to there, got to Gotham.
Holy shit.
And I was still high waiting to go on. And this, I wasn't working with like a lot of material. I only had like, you know, maybe I think like 15, 20 minutes of material at the time that I could do. And I didn't know what to do. And so I got on stage and I just told them exactly what happened to start.
All right.
And then I told all my jokes.
That's great.
And they were, it's kind of like a cop out, but it was real. But like they were so on board, that it was like anything I said, they were like knee slapping.
You have to,
you know, because I was giggling a little bit. I was fucking shit up, but they loved it.
Yeah,
and so I got out unscathed. But those were the only two times, and I said never again. Yeah.
I've never gone up high.
Yeah,
I think if I ever 100%. Was to do it, that would have to be the theme of the night. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Like it would have
right,
to be.
Right, because then
like,
it gives you, it's forgive. It's forgiveness.
Whatever happens,
yeah.
happens, and it's just
it's
as
encouraged.
Long as,
everybody's
long as you
in
know,
on the joke. Yeah. If you just get up there.
There like, are shows like that, you know.
There are. Yeah,
yeah I've
yeah.
never done one, but there are shows like that.
Because otherwise I'm up there just, I get into that, like, they can tell.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's a fucking nightmare. It's funny, I think I can say this, that you talk about, like, Shay being, like, the expert. I mean, yeah. One time on set, Q caught... I won't say who. A member of the crew was smoking weed.
Okay.
And Q like pulled him over and told him he couldn't do that. And the crew member was like, "Oh, but Shay." And Q was just like, "Yeah, Shay can. You can." Yeah. Yeah. It was so like
that's so
it was
funny.
Just like she's earned that and
right.
Shay does her job and I don't want to see you ever doing that again. Yeah. Shay, it's
oh wait, can you mouth great. Me who it is?
Oh,
or can it, you do you not remember?
Just no, I do. Yeah, I'll tell you after. I'll tell
okay,
you.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
It was pretty great.
Yeah, Shay's hysterical. She just literally reeks of weed 24/7.
Yeah, I was.
She's amazing
at
her job.
Yeah, no, she doesn't affect her job.
At the pizza pusher.
Oh,
she
yeah.
was out for that.
We did that whole thing.
Oh,
we
I never did that. I always wanted
that was
to.
Cool.
Dude,
yeah.
that I don't get the concept of it because you're eating more and more edibles. And you're getting more and more munchies. When does it end?
It doesn't. And you're smoking a Godfather blunt. You're passing around a giant blunt, like one of those big fucking.
So everyone is, I mean,
just your toast.
Oblivious.
Marijuana
yeah.
infused yeah. pizza, garlic knots.
Well, the thing
like
is like
salad,
it doesn't kick
in.
An edible like that's not going to kick in until you leave, right?
Well, I guess that's what the smoking. It kind of kicked in.
Because
it
I remember,
was nice.
Because I know
nice.
When you leave there, you must be, because by the time you have everything.
Yeah, then it all hits you.
Yeah.
yeah.
I want to
yeah,
do it. I want to do it.
It was great. It feels shady as fuck.
Yeah, there was,
the whole thing is.
Yeah,
yeah there's
it's like
no
totally
signage.
Non-sanctioned.
Yeah, it's just like a black building and a black awning and a black doorway. And you
yeah.
just like slip in a guy at the door. Like you got to have a name.
The best, though.
Yeah, yeah,
that's like
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
so
yeah.
cool.
Oh,
know?
Dude, that's the way
only
to do
like
it.
I was about to say only in New York,
only
but I don't know where.
But it feels very New York, like the
yeah, it
the,
does
the
feel
Wild West, like the legalization of it, but it's not all figured out.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah,
I,
yeah,
I
yeah,
kind of
yeah, yeah.
like where it's at right now. It's very fun.
Yeah, it's cool.
And
yeah.
I'm out in Jersey where there's just we got
now
you
just go to
a
store.
Now.
Yeah,
yeah, there's one opening up like right near my house.
Amazing. Think about all the people who fucking went to jail for this.
I know, right? I was
so bad.
Just thinking that I went up, I did this whole Ghostbusters day and this Ghostbusters tour. And we went to all these, it started at the firehouse and people got married there and they had the cars yeah. and they had this whole fucking thing. And then they did a walking tour where you jump on the train, and you go
so
to
fun.
Different shooting spots. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It ends at Central Park West. But like one of the spots was the library on 42nd Street. So as soon as we got off the fucking train there, I walk up to the street. And there's tables of people just selling weed. They have bud in jars. And you just tell them how much you want. And they just scoop it up. And they package it. It's like on the... It's not even you have to go to a store.
Yeah, that's
it's a,
crazy. Because technically, I think they could give them shit for that, right?
I think so.
Thought,
yeah.
But they
but
have
it's that
wild.
They're that bold with it now. It's like, it's really not... It's decriminalized. But I still think... I heard they were cracking down on the bodegas now.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
you can get it at any bodega.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I think they want to like, you know... Think of how much money they could have made if they just did this sooner.
Oh, my God.
You
yeah,
I mean?
Absolutely.
Also, are they putting weed drug dealers out of business, probably?
I know. That's what I'm thinking. Like, I talk to my people, and they're like, what it comes down to is because it's more expensive out of these dispensaries, and
yeah.
it's more like a designer thing. It's like the difference between going out to eat every night versus cooking at home. You know,
okay,
like,
I get
like,
that.
Yeah, like once a week you may order something,
yeah.
but like
right,
you're
right.
not ordering every night. So that's what your regular deal
yeah,
is.
Yeah, you're getting more value. Yeah.
It was
yeah.
years ago, but there was this report in like Colorado where they were like interviewing some like drug dealers and they were just talking about there's still that thing of like beating the taxes on it and... So it still existed for that.
It exists,
and...
like I said, for like the everyday smoking, the day-to-day bullshit. But like, you can't beat some of the... I bought like Mike Tyson weed at a
How
dispensary.
Was
it was awesome. I had the pineapple kush, I think.
Really?
So he's at Holyfield's like that, yeah. in on it? Because at first it bothered me that he was selling that. Because you know, like the logo is an ear with a bite taken out of it.
Oh, that's
yeah,
wrong.
That's the edibles. Packaging. Yeah, the edibles, he has a little...
That's nuts.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, no, him and Holyfield went into the venture together.
No
it
way.
Bugged me at first,
yeah.
and then I found that they were both in on it, and I was like, well, I guess it's
Dude,
all
his
right.
weed is really
I've
cool.
only heard about it, but is there any special thing with his weed, or is it just not just Mike Tyson's weed.
Yeah, just Mike Tyson's weed.
Because I thought maybe I read Seth Rogen or someone. Maybe no, it was a female. I forget who. Maybe it was a Chelsea Handler.
Maybe.
I thought I read someone where someone was putting money and effort into creating weed that did not make you hungry.
Oh,
and that's gonna be the first thing I would get, because honestly, if it wasn't for weed, I'd probably be about 40 pounds lighter.
Yeah, me too. I
lie to myself every time. I'm like, well, look, you could have one or the other. You could smoke the weed. If you promise yourself you're not going to eat, then you smoke the weed.
Yeah, go
but
for
if you
it.
Can't it's not hard, eat, you have to stop smoking the weed.
It's
and
impossible.
I say this to myself nightly.
It's impossible.
And it's just impossible.
Yeah. My house, yeah. My kids are 6 and 4. The pantry has all that, the little kids stuff, the fruit snacks and shit.
Yeah.
That's what you go, because I'm very good, and I can say this for a fact, like when I didn't have kids or like if things weren't in the house, I have that, there is self-control. But
right.
Once it's in the house, I'm good about not buying it, but once it's home.
Yeah.
And it's
the snacks are coming from inside the house.
Dude, it's little bag. It's fruit snacks. It's little bags. It's the potato chips. It's all the stuff they take for like, you know, school lunch and stuff.
Yeah.
And
the
that's
kids the snacks
kind of thing
are
where,
best.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Dude, I'm creative. I'll take 2 granola bars and put like a chocolate bar in the middle.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like,
absolutely.
I'm disgusting with my kids' snacks.
My favorite, well, it's not really a weed. I've done it, but like, I love taking like a boar's head ham, like shredded, like cut thin.
Yeah.
And I like putting like a jalapeno, like kettle chips, and then rolling them up. Inside and crunch them and like rolling them and then eating them like almost like a finger food.
Oh,
that's such a kid, like a kid.
Yeah.
I still we'll do sounds like good. The Elio's. Do you guys say Elio's or Elio's? I always said Elio's.
I say Elio's.
I say Elio's.
Yeah. I say
I don't know what the right.
God bless Elio's too.
That
how are they still around?
I don't know. I only recently found out they were because we did a battle on. We talked about it on Taste Buds, but that pack that like nine slice three sheet pack.
Yeah,
that was
dude.
Like forget it. I mean, oh man, you throw that in. I would have that. That was in my house at all times.
It's in my house at all times now.
Get that.
You gotta get it. Yeah.
Oh, dude, make an Elio sandwich. You make 2 slices. You put like pepperoni, salami in the middle, and you make it. You make a sandwich out of it.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I'll say Elio's because I was outvoted. But so this is my brother's thing, and I got into it. Just potato chips, plain.
Utz or Utz?
On top of the.
You say Utz or Utz?
I say Utz.
Yeah, me too.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, potato chips just smashed into the top of it. And just eat it with like a potato chip crust on top of the
so
Elio's.
Good. I just saw in a gas station they had Reese's now has big cups with broken potato chips inside.
Yeah, oh, I saw that.
Yeah.
They make them. It's like an inception of Reese's. They make a Reese's
yes.
with the cereal inside, the Reese's Puffs.
Yes, I saw that too.
It's fucking
I had no idea how many SKUs Reese's came out with recently.
Reese's went nuts.
There's like
Oreos went nuts.
There's
too.
Like 30 and they bought Take 5. It's now Reese's Take 5.
Shit. But where is it going to go? Where's the ceiling?
I don't know.
You know what I mean? Like, we're
there's like Reese's cups in Reese's cups.
Yeah. Like, it just doesn't stop. Like, to me, it's like porn. It's like, it drives me crazy. Like, where I'm like, my boys are 12, 13. They have phones now. So I'm like, porn now, it's
not just it's, straightforward like we watch
it.
It's
just not fucking,
it's like a whole culture. And that's how they're learning.
Yes, and I'm like, where's the fucking
you should be
ceiling?
Like, just take this tape from 1979 first.
That's it, take my dad's tape.
It's like two people doing missionary with some jazz.
Yeah.
Some good old regular fucking. I used to fuck this girl, she used to call it apple pie fucking. She just was like, I'm into apple pie fucking. Like,
what does that mean?
Just regular old American, just like missionary.
Okay. Apple pie fucking.
Regular,
right.
not like the fucking stupid movie.
Oh, I thought she was like,
fuck this. No, but just like into straight up sex. Like, I'm not into anal. I'm not into this crazy shit. Just straight up fuck me. Like, okay.
Right.
Apple pie sex.
I'll sign up. Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, I'm not saying none of that.
Even if you find that online, the title of the description is going to ruin it. It's always going to be like stepfather, and like like who?
Yeah, what are you guys doing?
How many guys are into that?
Yeah.
That everything's labeled. It's like a stepdad,
and then you watch
and a stepdaughter.
You watch whatever the latest fad is, and then it's like, and then that it gets old, and then they need to do something else, and it's just elevating now.
Yeah,
I swear to God, you just turn one on, and just the first thing that happens, the lady gets punched in the face. You know, it's like, it's nuts. I'm like, well, I don't know who's participating in this.
Christine, my wife is not, she's not one to ever watch any of that. And she's, there was one time, just videos. She was like, she's like, what is it like? I was like, it's crazy. And she's like, show me. And I was like, all right, we just went to a porn site and pulled up a thing, and it was just a regular kind of standard. She was like, all right. And then it was like, let's see what's recommended next. And it was a close-up of a vagina, and this lady slowly pushed out a dog toy, like a squeaky dog toy. And she was like, what the fuck? And I was like, that's what it is. That's how it works. That's what's online.
Yeah.
She's horrified.
She's like, wow, that guy must have had a lot of fish.
But it literally went from, that was video number two. Online. Wow. You know what I mean? Just like, let's see what. Oh, you like that one?
Yeah.
Let's see. Let's try it.
There's no ceiling. It just doesn't stop. Terrible. It just keeps getting. Reese's and porn just keeps getting crazy.
Reese's and porn are out of control.
I don't even know. When my kids get to that, I don't even know how to talk about any of it. Dude. It was, for me, it was like the friend with the scrambled channel where you kind of saw stuff. Dude,
exactly. It was like we found like discarded nudie mags in the woods.
Yeah. Sure. We had a guy by us
pages
that had
stuck together.
We said the porn pit in the Staten Island landfill. A guy had a pit full of like old porn. And we'd
it's like you had to go
Why
find
would,
it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, like, now it's like you have to get them to avoid it.
Yeah. It's
You know, we used to have to go, and even later in life when I was like 18, we used to drive to Third Avenue underneath the freaking BQE and go to some 24-hour place and go to the back and, like, you know, be embarrassed and buy a tape for $70 and then all share it.
Now it's, you know, it's, I mean? How much for, imagine being a kid now, being 13
now,
right,
like,
now with a cell phone.
It's like, oh, it's like it comes in like
limitless.
It's like Apple News.
Yeah. I've only been in a porn shop twice. It was on Staten Island, Nightcap.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to Nightcap.
Yeah.
Is that still there?
Yeah.
Is it?
Wow.
So.
Yeah,
I think I was in it once
there.
In my life. But.
First time I went was with him. We needed a dildo for a sketch. So we went in and we bought a dildo together. You remember? It was with the 6
We've all done that. I
need
dildos for sketches, too.
Yeah.
We do this.
Yeah, 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 yeah. We've all needed dildos.
Sketch.
Well, this is the thing. So we do this sketch.
Comedy's rough.
We did a show with the cup, and at the end of the sketch, do you remember we threw the dildo out to somebody in the audience, and we got rid of it? Months go by. I'm doing a thing with Jay Miller. We need a dildo. I go back to Nightcap with him.
Fucking cheating
on me. And I'm just like, oh yeah, we're doing another comedy thing. And they're like, yeah, shit.
Yeah, comedy. How many guys want to do? We didn't just buy the dildo, we bought the anal ring toss.
Oh, anal ring toss was beautiful. Dude, it's a butt plug with like a stick coming off
Amazing.
Of it and these yellow rings.
Amazing.
Yeah. Somebody got anal ring toss that night.
So now for you, I'm just hoping that, like, you're just hoping, and I'm hoping, like, that the phone, like, you can, like limit stuff on the phone, like parental controls, and like, kind of understand what they're doing, right? Can't you see? This is the thing too. It's like, not every parent is responsible, and then you're gonna have, you know, when I have kids, I'm nervous to even send them to school, because like I know. The parent I'm going to be to my child. And it's not like I'm going to keep them from things, but I'm going to do it the right way. I'm going to raise a good person.
Yeah.
And there's too many people not raising good people. And then they sour your child.
Yeah. In our house, like screen time is limited. My kids do, like, they read, they do a lot of art, they play board games. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's a limited thing on weekends and stuff. My son just finished kindergarten literally yesterday.
Wow.
What did
wow.
kindergarten? He came home from kindergarten one day. It was like halfway through the year. Dad, I learned some bad words. I was like, what are you talking about? He went, I know the F word, the S word, the D word, the P. Kindergarten.
No.
Kindergarten. And it's just you do the best you can, and it doesn't.
It doesn't.
I mean, it matters.
It's got to be a good foundation.
You got to make up for those lousy parents yourself.
Yeah.
You got to do double work.
You start with a good foundation.
Yeah.
And then they could kind of deflect some of it. Like,
do you feel like, it's a never ending worry, right? You're never going to be at peace. Like, you're not like, you're going to worry forever, right?
Yeah.
It's a constant.
But I've learned to let go. Like,
it's hard to let go, though.
My older guy, he's 13 and a half. He curses all fucking dead. And I wish he didn't, but we have a very weird household where it's like, there's really not much censorship and there's not really like, go to bed at this time. It's like, if you stay up all night, that's your problem tomorrow at school.
Right.
And then you learn to go to bed.
Right.
Like, we're very, we give you a lot of
sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
But they're really good kids. Like, my son just graduating eighth grade. He's at his old Arister Honor Society.
So wow.
3 years in this.
That's such
program.
A relief. It must feel so good.
Yeah. And it's just, it's the foundation. It's a foundation.
When
it has
do you
to
think
be a
that
rock
starts?
Solid foundation.
When do you think that starts? The
right
building,
off the, bat.
The building blocks.
Right off the bat.
Infancy.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Always.
So they're subconsciously value. Absorbing.
Yeah.
Behavior.
Yeah.
Right.
They're gonna listen. The kids are always gonna copy.
Well, consciously, but
you
not.
Do.
You know, obviously, before they're able to comprehend at a certain level, mm-hmm. you're saying they're still. That base starts immediately. Then.
Yeah. They're always absorbing. No matter what you don't think they're absorbing, they're always absorbing. They're sponges.
Yeah.
They're just mimicking you to learn how to live. That's all they're doing.
Right.
You're their life for like a certain period of time. There's no outside world. There's no friends. There's no... You're the god and master at that point. You know what I mean?
Right,
you're the
right.
entertainment. You're everything. So like, you have to really literally start from day one. That's
wow.
Yeah.
That's it's cool.
Yeah.
It's the greatest. Someone told me they described it as when you have a kid, it's a ticket. It's a front row ticket to the greatest show on earth. I was like, oh, that's a pretty cool way to describe it.
Yeah. I would agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would agree with that.
I love it.
Yeah. Also the craziest show on earth.
Yeah.
I'm so crazy.
I'm exhausted. My wife's alarm goes off at 5:30 every morning. So and I'm a light sleeper, so that wakes me up.
Sure.
And then the kids wake me up. So my son, he finished school yesterday. Last night he was like, Dad, can I stay up late? And I was like, but he wanted to stay up 2 hours past his bedtime. I was like, okay, but that means you can sleep in and I can sleep in. 2 hours tomorrow. Like, you don't have to get up the normal time.
Okay.
He's like, okay, Dad. Stays up late, has a blast. He wakes up at the exact same time. He wakes up every morning, comes into my bed, and this is how he wakes me up. He goes, Dad, time to get up. And he grabs my hand. And he starts shaking. He goes, wake up this hand. And he grabs my other. He goes, wake up this hand. And he's waking me up like one body part at a time. And it was so funny that he had me laughing, but it's like, I'm fucking tired.
Yeah, man.
The goddamn time. But I love it, dude. Love it.
When you had, how many do you have?
I have two boys.
So when you have the second child, mm-hmm. Do you have the, I guess, not to say fear, but like that unknown is gone, right? You've done it once.
Yeah.
It's the second birth and the second, like, bringing the baby home, that initial very early stage, does it play differently to you?
Yeah.
Or,
oh, yeah, yeah,
it's just
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
It's just more, it's a different experience.
Yeah, it's more laid back.
It's not like,
yeah,
I even
no, it's definitely more laid back. It's because it
kind of did a go round and
yeah.
If I tell you this
footing,
if I tell you the story of my oldest birth, we're gonna be here for a while. I'm gonna tell you every detail, what happened with the doctor and that, and then you're just like, what about your second? I'm like, nothing to speak
really?
Of.
Yeah. It is kind of like that. Okay.
Same thing happened with my sisters.
It's human nature, I guess. It's like
my
body.
I was in high school when my sisters were born. There's a huge gap, and I have two. Sisters that I lived with who were babies when I was in high school. And same thing, my older sister Marianne talks about her, like, she's like, oh, what was like when I was born? And I was like, oh, like, mom had to be induced. She went to the hospital for 24 hours and then you just stopped and they sent her home after inducing labor. It's a whole crazy story.
Whoa,
there was a measles outbreak in the hospital.
Oh, wow.
You were in the hospital for less than 24 hours when you came home.
That's ridiculous.
We had all these people in the house. And then my sister Julie, who was born 2 years after her, she's like, what about me? And me and my brother looked at each other like, you were so cute. I think it's that, you know, it's just, it's a bigger deal the first time you go through it. And the second one, it's, I always say when my wife went to the doctor after doing the home pregnancy test with my son, it was, she took like 3 at-home tests.
Yeah.
And on the way, it was just like, I'm not pregnant.
Yeah.
I'm not pregnant. Yep. No way I'm pregnant. So she's just doubting it the whole time. And we were going there just to like, see if this was real. With my daughter, my wife gets into the doctor's office and she just goes, how many? Like, how many? Because we were down for
a whole litter.
We were cool with 2. But like,
and then what about like, okay, so the first one is your I mean, to your core, it's your world, your universe, like the greatest thing you ever did with your life, right?
Yeah,
there's a sure. love that you opened up that you didn't feel before.
Sure,
for sure.
Now, and you think, you probably think, how can I love anything this much? So when the second baby comes, but you do, right? You
felt,
do love.
I felt guilty.
Yeah,
I felt guilty.
Oh, so this is
doing this to my first son.
Okay,
I was like,
how old was your? How old? Different. Far apart?
They're 18 months apart.
Close. Okay, so you only had
Polish eight... twins. I call. My wife's Polish.
So you only had so you had 18 months yeah. solo.
Yes,
with your firstborn.
Yeah, and then that's...
and then that relationship and that yeah. dynamic is gone forever.
Yeah, 18 months, technically like 11 months without knowing. I'm sorry.
Sure.
Yeah. About,
sure.
Right.
With nine.
Yeah, 9 months not without knowing.
Right.
Yeah. Sorry. without knowing that this was
no
even
one wants you.
Happen.
No one expects you to do numbers.
That's true. Right? I'm not the math guy on this show.
Somebody listening.
So what?
No,
what are you? What were your feelings like? And how did you process them?
Dude,
how,
I really, I legit. Yeah. I felt like shitty. I felt real shitty at first. I was like taking this like relationship we had
changing
away
it.
From this guy.
Yeah,
it really fucked with me. I'm not.
I
going
could imagine.
To lie.
Yeah.
Wow.
Plane yeah. writes itself when it happens and everything's great.
Okay.
But like that initial thought was like,
yeah, I can
like,
see that.
I really
yeah.
like fuck this guy. Like we had this whole,
you have this thing.
We had, I had this whole life planned out
yeah.
for us.
Yeah. Oh man, now you can't
yeah.
do it.
Oh, no.
But and then when your second born comes,
yeah,
it's the same exact love, right?
Yeah.
And it's weird. You just have it for two.
Yeah, 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 it's weird. It's like, you know.
Or I mean, would anyone admit if it's not the same exact love?
It's a little different. Well, because I'll say this in the
yeah,
beginning. In the beginning, and you know, when a new baby comes home, especially if your wife is like breastfeeding and stuff, that's a tight bond. That's way more involved.
Yeah.
And if you have an older kid, you're the team for a while. While that stuff is going on, because it's kind of
yeah,
like, well,
right.
I can take him to the park. While you know what
right.
I mean. So it's in a way. I don't know if you went through this.
Oh,
I feel like that bond, it's not only tight, it almost gets a little tighter.
Oh, that's interesting.
For
yeah.
me,
yeah, I could
that's
see
how
that.
It was. And then as that kid starts to kind of
right.
crawl around and take over the house more and everything, it wasn't an immediate thing for us. If anything, it was kind of like we were a team while mom
that makes sense.
Had the baby.
My first guy, me and him have like such a crazy bond. And my second guy, him and my wife have such a crazy bond.
Interesting.
So that makes sense. I mean, we all love
yeah.
each other.
Like sure, my dad wasn't like, around. You know. So me and my mom have a crazy bond and my brother had a security blanket. That's how it worked.
And a fat guy.
There's only so much love to go around.
How many years apart are your...
We were 15 months apart. 15,
okay, so
brother.
Both of you
oh,
were...
Well, me and my brother, I'm sorry. My kids are 2 years apart.
Two years.
Two and a half.
So is it? So I don't know about yours, maybe, but there's a thing where it's like they're young enough, they're close enough in age that your first son will
yeah.
not remember life without a sibling.
Right? Absolutely doesn't.
Which is
yeah.
wild, too.
Yeah.
So then they don't have to process that. Like it's just it's a crazy thing. You can't have a memory before your sibling.
My
yeah.
kid can't. My son can't really remember. He was 2 and a half, so he doesn't really remember life.
Two and a half. Me and my sister are 2 and a half years apart.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I have a memory of without her. I have individual memories that she's not in, but I don't remember living a life.
Yeah, the time. Yeah.
Yeah.
My son has like a weird memory of like getting a toy from his grandmother in the hospital when my daughter was born, but fuzzy as any. And again, it's one of those things, is he remember
right
remember the memory or
right
yeah
right.
I don't know yeah yeah, but that's one of his earliest things.
I know my kid doesn't remember, because when my second son was born, me and my first son it was at the hospital, Staten Island North.
Mm-hmm.
So we hung out at the boardwalk and I bought a bunch of Taco Bell. The Taco Bell at the time that was on like Bay Street. Now
oh, yeah.
That's like closed down.
Yeah.
I think it became a Wendy's.
Okay.
They closed it for a long time.
Yeah.
And I load him up with a ton of taco. Me and him just sat on a boardwalk.
It's open till 2 a.m. at Wendy's.
What's up?
Just like, no, it's open till 2 a.m.
Oh, Wendy's is always good for that.
And he'll remember that, you think?
No, he doesn't, because I was like, oh, dude, let's grab some Taco Bell. He's like, oh, I don't eat that. I never had Taco Bell. I was like, you had it when you were baby, me and you. We were waiting for Mommy and Wyatt in the hospital, and we just sat there and we ate tacos till they dripped out of our asses. And he's like, I don't. No, that didn't happen. I'm So I'm like, not. Oh, he doesn't remember anything before then. Wow. And that's when this motherfucker was born. I was like, he definitely doesn't remember anything before Wyatt.
That motherfucker.
That motherfucker.
What do you guys think about, just apropos of this, your Super Live Adventure podcast coming to an end now, did you ever reflect, and you mentioned it earlier, about if they wanted to, your kids could listen to all 420 episodes, and like, does that in any way, shape, or form, like, does it make you give pause to what you may have said?
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
And you're talking about a guy.
Words 10 years ago that I might have said.
Yeah. Well, in the early days, like, before kids, like, blackout drunk in a bar, just running a microphone.
Yeah.
And even early on, without a plan, just kind of.
Will you let them listen if they want to?
I would. Yeah. I told you, I have a no censorship.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, you do it and you're on red. There's no. Trust me, it comes in from every angle to be like a prude about it or anti it.
Right.
It puts you on the outs.
Right.
And so if you're just like, you're cool with it and I trust you to be able to digest this and process it in a correct way, I got your back. And they've proven that. Like, we watch Scorsese movies and you hang out with, you know what I mean? Like
yeah, that's so interesting.
They accept that and they're cool with it. I think they're cool with me accepting them to have an adult experience like that, so they don't blow it. They respect it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It could all be taken away.
Yeah, exactly.
For me, I mean, this podcast is not for kids.
Right.
So yeah, the same rule applies. But also, if they were to seek it out on their own or something, I mean, everything that's out, we buried our first 300 behind like the Patreon.
Okay, so they're going to have to pay a small fee.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
So they got to sign up. They got to give us $5
Just put up a paywall and all your stress will go away.
Yeah.
When they're ready. Everything after that's not as bad.
I would recommend them being adults first.
The thing I always felt with movies and television and stuff is that I think the wrong way to do it is to have the TV on all the time and your kids watch what they watch and they're just in the room doing that.
Right.
What I believe is that you should co-watch as much as possible, and every show, either during it or after it, there should be a conversation about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that changes things too, where it's like, hey, if you want, like, because my son just watched the original Star Wars trilogy, you know, he's 6 years old. There's some heavy stuff. People, limbs are being severed. People are dying and stuff. But to be able to just like watch it and then talk about it is everything.
Sure.
I'd be afraid of him going and listening in a vacuum to me 10 years ago doing things just to try to be funny and drinking and everything, where it's just to kind of, you know, it's a weird thing to explain.
And you're at that time.
Yeah.
No, and it's also, it's like stand up or anything else. Like, it's you, but it's sort of it's a character. Like, it's a character.
You're playing it up and you're looking for laughs.
You want to make sure there's an understanding of what is actually happening. This isn't a microphone hidden in a room where I'm having a conversation with my friend Chris. This is like,
you're performing.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
But it terrifies me. All of it.
Yeah.
I have no stand up online. You can't find any of it.
Wow.
And it's tricky. And part of that is also, I always did a lot of storytelling.
Yeah.
My mom is on Instagram. My father is on Twitter. Like, it's these people are still alive that I'm like doing material about.
Right.
And it's this like, it's always a tricky thing, man.
Yeah.
It's always, always tricky. I'm trying to steer away from that more.
Hey, I have one caveat to the no censorship thing. I was at like a weird like horror movie convention, and there was guys selling like bootleg DVDs, and I picked up the complete series of the old Howard Stern Channel 9 show.
Oh, sure. WOR.
Yeah. And my wife was like, yeah, the Secaucus.
Yeah.
My wife was like, no, you're not watching that with them. That was she shut that down.
Yeah, that's when Snapple was a big
That was his dude. That like second, I was telling him, I was like, text him like, I'm watching Sturgeon, the second episode, he's like giving Snapple to a monkey.
He has a
organ grinder with a monkey.
I remember those. That guy trying to blow smoke out of his eyes.
Yeah, Kenneth Keith Kallenbach.
Yeah,
dude. it is a they're hard to come across.
Oh, I've been thinking I've wanted to find that forever.
Yeah. I'll lend them to you if you ever want.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, they're a real blast going through a lot of shit. I was like,
it's funny you're talking about like the movie stuff with them, because I just wrote down a note and I'm like, someone mentioned the other day, jogged my memory, like that those moments when you're watching a movie with your parents when you were younger and an unexpected sex scene comes on or something and you're like younger and everyone's just like,
yeah,
you feel that like such like, you know, I mean, your kids probably don't feel that because you're like open about it. But I remember that feeling you have when, you know, when that comes on, everyone's just like,
it was weird.
Yep.
Yeah.
It was very fucking weird.
Yeah.
My parents made me watch weird shit. Oh God. Definite weird shit.
Your house was different than mine.
Everything from like watching, like all of a sudden you watch an airplane, all of a sudden you see a pair of boobs.
Yeah, exactly. Like, oh my God. But
actually, my dad let me watch anything because I watched Delirious as a kid.
Okay, yeah.
He had it on VHS.
Jack Candy, yeah.
And he was just like, he just would like roll his eyes, but like it didn't really. I was like, oh my God, I can't believe this language, you know?
Yeah, sure.
But I mean, what is, you know, I'm a comedian now, you know,
So weekends at that, like the every other weekend at my dad's house was the exposure to all that stuff. And it was that was the right amount, I think, as a kid.
Yeah.
Like every other weekend, you go to the house that has Playboy magazines and all the cable channels, and he's just passed out on the couch, and you take all that in, but then you go home and mom, you know, steers you the right way for the next couple weeks. That's how I did it.
That's not bad either.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
Sal, thanks for doing this, man.
Oh, God, it was so much fun. It was good to catch up with you guys.
Dude,
yeah.
Good seeing you, man. It's been always.
I appreciate it. Congratulations on 400, and it's going to be 20 episodes, right?
Yeah.
It's insane that it ended on 420.
It wasn't the plan.
I know, but that's so many episodes.
It's a lot.
That's so many. I feel like I've been doing my podcast forever, and I have like 133 episodes of each. But like, congrats, man, to do it that long and stuff. Dang. You guys one day will probably maybe go back and just start from one.
We're already planning on coming back and doing things a little differently and more structured. That's easier to market than we're best friends and we talk about whatever we want.
Right.
You get lost in a sea of that.
Sure. Yeah.
We got some thoughts. So
tinker.
I appreciate you guys asking me to come back. Appreciate it.
Dude, it means the world that you did it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Full circle, man.
Yeah. Love you guys. Congratulations.
Love you too, man. Dude. Thank you.
You got it.
Chinese. The finest soup available. Egg dump soup from eggdumpsoup.com.
Cut. Let's one more time.
All right. Hold on.
Action, Orson, please.
Oh, the egg dump soup from
here are this week's voicemails.
Gentlemen, it is your supreme leader calling once again. I have to vent to you, boys. Let me ask you. When you go to your job, do you have to deal with some asshole dressed like a giant golden cobra calling himself emperor trying to take your job? I don't think so. It's very, very difficult running an extra legal paramilitary organization. I have to tell you, boys. Sorrentino, any help you could give me with the raccoons would be greatly appreciated.
Oh, man.
Anyway, you know. Oh, goddammit.
Oh, no! Wait, Cobra Commander, what happened? What happened to Cobra Commander?
That's the way to sign off.
God damn it. Cobra Commander, I'd give you all the help I could with these raccoons. John and Laura tried talking me out of it.
You're already in. You're all in with Cobra, man.
I'm ready. I'm down. I like Cobra. I like the Dreadnoughts. I told you we'd be hanging out with them. The Crimson Guard. All these guys. I love that shit.
All right.
I'm sorry.
Who am I to say otherwise, you know?
I don't know what to tell you about the Serpentor situation. That guy sucks.
Yeah.
So Serpentor is like the ruler who is cloned from like all different rulers. He's cloned from a little bit of like Genghis Khan, a little bit of Alexander the Great. Like he's like all, you think they like snuck a little Hitler in there? They put like all these tyrants.
They don't talk about it.
They don't talk about Hitler, but I think there might have been a little
smidge of Hitler.
Yeah, I think every morning he wakes up, he has to shave that mustache off. Like it grows in real quick.
Yeah.
But
he's painting something in his room.
I'm in the arties. I wish we had bells to ring for
There's
that.
No bells to ring.
We forgot the bells.
We're in Manhattan, and there's no bells in Manhattan, as you
there's
know.
There's no bells in Manhattan. Just big apples. No bells.
Bell free.
It's a city that never rings.
You know, there were church bells going before. Those count. Well, maybe if we time it, if we play a voicemail on the hour, we might get some bells.
Like the big old church bells.
But sorry. Sorry, Cobra Commander. Yeah, no bells. But thanks for the call. Keep them coming, man.
Cobra!
We got a voicemail from Lil Eddie.
Yes!
We gotta sing a song.
Means we gotta sing.
He gets a jingle. Jingles all the way.
Lil Eddie theme song.
Let's do it. Ooh.
Bobble, leave a review and take us all to the movies. Gonna watch one movie, gonna watch two movies, gonna watch three movies and review them all for you. That's a lot of phone calls. That's a lot of big balls. That's a lot of us sitting by the phone. Little Eddie's movie reviews.
I love it. Sal is in an office. And you're just like, yeah, you could stay here. You're not going to bother me. I'm just like, I got some writing to do. He's probably sitting there going like, oh, my God, they're screaming.
Why are they singing and laughing? You know what? There's no bells.
No bells.
There's no bells.
Yeah. You see,
we could be really annoying, Sal, right now.
Yeah. Sal, be thankful you don't got any bells.
Yeah, you're welcome, Sal.
Hey, guys. It's Lil Eddie. I saw The Flash and I liked it. That is all. That is all. I liked it.
Oh, man.
Wow, he really,
liked it.
All right.
I've been hearing mixed. I didn't see it. I did see that new Spider-Man movie. I enjoyed that.
You did?
Yeah, across the Spider-Verse.
I'll say this. I didn't see The Flash.
Yeah, I didn't see The Flash.
I don't like it.
You know what? Somebody gave me a link to watch it for free.
Okay.
That's how I'm going to do it.
You're going to watch it? Okay.
I'm sorry. I don't want to pay anything towards Ezra Miller. I think Ezra Miller's a fucking asshole.
I don't think you have to apologize for that.
Okay. No, I'm saying that's sorry to if you're a big Flash guy or a big child grooming fan or just like a complete crazy person.
You just like flashing.
Oh, if you just like flashing. It could be that gremlin that flashes everybody. Gremlin in the trench coat. He could be listening. I'm apologizing to him.
I know you don't want to give him money. Part of me doesn't want to watch it because I love Michael Keaton Batman. Mm-hmm. And I kind of want to, you know, there's a part of me that's like, yes. I don't want to touch that.
Yeah, stay in stone.
Don't wanna, that's it. It exists the way it exists. And I'm sure he's great.
Mm-hmm. I heard he's the best thing about it.
Yeah, I just don't know if I want to see him on the CW like that. That's DC for me.
Oh, I heard the effects in this movie are trash. I heard it looks like a bad CG. So there's two of the Flashes in this movie.
Sure.
And one of them's Ezra's stunt double. The other person is there. Is just Ezra, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the person that's playing Ezra's stunt double has their face like digitally, like Irishman'd over Ezra's.
Irishman'd. Okay.
The Flash got Irishman. Well, Ezra's their stunt double, or their whoever's playing the second Flash is Irishman.
Okay.
And I heard it's just like laughable. Flappable. Palpable.
We'll see. A lot of old heroes running around this summer.
You know what? We need some new. Yeah, you got Indiana Jones. You got Ezra Miller. No, he's not anybody's hero. What's his name? Michael Keaton. You got a bunch of. You got a bunch of Transformers happening right now. I wonder if Eddie saw that movie.
That might be. I hear good things about that.
I would never pay to see a Transformers movie either.
No, I would like to take my kid.
It's all garbage. It's all garbage.
All right.
That the steroid Ninja Turtles, like there was like a certain era of cinema, of movies, blockbusters that just make me sick. And that's Transformers movies, steroid Ninja Turtles movies.
Ninja Turtles is going to get good again. I got a good feeling
it
about
is.
That movie.
That new
one right now.
That new one's looking really good.
Because they're going younger.
Yeah.
Not older.
No.
See, that's the key. In case anybody in Hollywood's listening, I think if you're 70, 80 years old, you know, maybe you don't do these things.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not seeing anything DC.
It's over.
What has DC done in the last 10, 15, 20 years that like I have to check out? I'm talking about movies.
You didn't like it. For me, it was The Batman with Rob Pattinson. I really enjoyed that movie. I'm looking forward to the second. I like that it doesn't have ties to that DC universe. The DC universe is ending after The Flash. Why would I care?
Yeah, it's a mess anyway. All right. Well, okay.
Thank you, Eddie.
I'm glad Eddie liked it.
Exactly.
And normally I say, if Eddie liked it, you got to go see it. But I just,
I'm just happy he did.
I'm happy he liked it.
I don't want an upset Eddie. I don't want Eddie coming out of the theater freaking out that The Flash is bad. I'm happy for that.
Yeah. Me too.
Yeah.
Me and my buddy, we was at the beach. We was toying around and all. Not really being responsible when it came to like sunscreen and UV protection. So anyway, he proceeds to get a fucking sunburn. All over his fucking chest tits, right? The guy's got red tits. Nipples like fucking slices of pepperoni, right? Asks me if I could rub the aloe all over his tits. Aloe vera. I'm like, yeah, I'll fucking do it, I guess. You know, so I'm rubbing this here. Ointment all over his tits.
I thought I gotta stop. I get his back.
But the front,
he's
can
asking
do himself.
For help. Can you put this on my tits? It's so funny.
Maybe his friend has no hands.
Yeah, that's the only excuse. If your friend has no hands,
I was hanging out with my friend, the lobster boy.
On his tits.
Feels good, I guess, like to him, because he's moaning. He's like, oh, feels good to me. I guess it feels good rubbing that salve all over his, like, burning chest, tits, sweaty. Some fucking hair sticking out of him, you know, like. So next thing you know, I'm getting a little fucking horny myself. I'm like, man, I wish I had a fucking sunburn going on here so my buddy could fucking rub me down with somebody's hair. I didn't really have a sunburn, but my balls started to swell. I think they call that fucking having flat balls or something, or like, you know, greasy ball sauce. This ball's filling up with like horniness, you know?
No, I don't know. I've never heard of it.
You know, we're hanging out at the beach at Nathan's and getting a hot dog. It's great. We shared the hot dog, of course. We each started at the end, at one end each, met in the middle. Sauerkraut.
That's the message.
Well, your balls are filling with horniness, guys. Yeah. Just you and your buddy get yourself a hot dog. It's the only relief.
That's all you could do.
And thank you for helping out your friend Edward Scissorhands, who obviously couldn't rub the salve on his own chest.
You're a good friend.
Yeah.
Poor wished he had a sunburn. It's weird without bells, right?
Yeah.
I kind of want to go ding, ding, ding.
I know.
Ding, ding.
I wanted to be ringing bells all night.
Oh, it's weird. Day. Oh, God. First time listeners, this is, listen, there's normally a bell here.
I mean, this is probably since we initiated the bell.
Which I don't know when the bells came in.
Oh, this is the first time we probably haven't had any bells. So the bells were originally for every time we had a drink. So you guys could drink along with us.
And understand how drunk we were.
Yes,
because that was the thing. We were drinking without acknowledging it. And by the end of the episode, it just sounded like we were both having strokes. So then it was like, we should ring a bell every time we have a new drink.
Yeah, so it sounds like we're having strokes at Christmas.
Like, I would have rang the bell twice tonight for beers. But then it became more of the... it's like an acknowledgement bell. It's like when you're happy, you hit the bell.
Yeah, you're laughing, hit that bell, you know.
Very weird. But anyway, thank you. Thanks for the call, man. Yeah. Oh, we got a call here from Rocco.
Oh.
Hey, fellas. Oh, shit. Who is it? It's your world pal Rocco here.
Hey, Rocco.
Ding, ding, ding. Ding, ding.
Well, listen, I know I've been out for a little bit. Here's what happened. As you may or may not know, I kind of got scammed by a fake cruise.
Yeah, we know.
Yeah, I remember.
Your old buddy Rocco put out a couple well-placed threats. And, you know, the Hudson County prosecutor, he decided that old Rocco needed to spend a little time in Kearney.
Oh, no.
So I've been out of the loop. And now I'm back. I'm out, and I'm waiting for all these new episodes. I'm trying to catch up. I just got a question. I didn't miss this sensitive Batman, did I?
Oh, my ding, ding, ding.
Fit it where you go, shit.
Oh, thank you, Rocco.
All right, so new listeners might not know.
Oh, man.
Sensitive Batman. A couple stories you always wanted to tell, and we always ran out of time. We're well over an hour into this episode.
We are.
There's no time for stories.
I don't think I could squeeze it in.
Maybe
I know it's the end.
Maybe before the show ends? Because this is the last season of Super Live Adventure. We have two episodes left after this.
All right. If I could squeeze it in. But we definitely can't tonight. We still got more calls. We still got more voicemails to get
through. Thank you for the reminder, Rocco. It's been a long time since anybody's brought up.
Yeah. So Sensitive Batman, Fiddler and Littler.
Oh, yeah.
And... Boobies in the bathroom.
Boobies in the...
Those are the three stories.
Bathroom or bathtub? What was it?
Bathroom.
Bathroom. I don't even know. I don't know what the stories are.
I know them. I just can't get to them right now.
Maybe. You got two episodes to tell everybody.
All right. Fingers crossed.
Listeners have been asking for a long time, and I think you should.
I mean, the new Flash movie, you got Batman. It is topical. I just can't do it right now. All right. Moving on.
Okay.
Hey guys, it's Lil Letty, and I just watched The Blackening. I did not like it. That is all.
I don't know much about it, but a lot of people, the Proud Boys are against it. My parents are against it.
All,
and I guess Lil Letty's against it.
All I know about The Blackening, I only know one thing.
I don't know anything about it.
Proud Eddie. I can. The only thing I know.
That's a jingle. Proud Eddie.
Proud Eddie, keep on boining. Those movies keep on toining. Munching on some popcorn.
R.I.P.
I saw R.I.P. The legend.
Best legs in the biz.
Legs and a wig.
Legs and a wig. That's what she was.
She's great that time with singing at Jabba's Palace. They cut her out.
They did.
She's gone. You know what I just found out recently? I didn't know. So John Williams' son is the singer from Toto, and he like wrote Lopty Neck and Yub Nub.
No.
I think he wrote the lyrics. I don't know if he wrote all the music.
Was he a toddler when he wrote it? Like,
no, Toto came. No, Toto sang Africa in like 84.
Oh,
he was
okay.
An adult. John Williams is like 105.
I don't know. It's just Lofty Neck. It sounds like something you'd have like a kid write.
Oh, yeah.
Star Wars. My kids could write Star Wars music.
Your
right
kids
now.
Should be writing Star Wars music.
Yeah, they should.
But the only thing I know about the Blackening is the, I remember seeing something, I forgot what it was, and they had a poster up, and it's a movie poster of several actors of color, and it says, and this is the Blackening, not all of us can die first.
That's what it says?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, you know, the old trope, like the black character is the first one to die in a horror movie.
Yeah, not all of us can. Okay.
You're like, we're all black. Oh, not all of us are going to be the first ones.
So who knows?
I don't know. That's all I know about the Blackening.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I give it a shot.
I'd see it before I see The Flash.
Yeah, I would see it before I saw The Flash.
I would.
Oh, man.
That's where I'm at.
Cross them over. Like a black Flash running around.
I don't know if we picked up. There were some church bells there. Did you hear that?
Oh.
I don't know if it made it through.
I don't know, but hey, those were ringing just for the black. And then...
I feel like it's not okay for me to say the blackening.
Yeah, it is kind of weird.
The whole thing, it makes me uneasy.
All of it. Like if I'm in a restaurant, you order like blackened chicken. You're like, oh.
Oh, that makes you a little.
Yeah, a little bit. Blackened. Okay. Anything.
My kid, I don't know if I should say this. We didn't mean anything by it.
Okay.
There was a PBS show he was watching, and they went back in time, and they were like showing like black historical figures that were up against, you know, racism in this country and everything else. And he's learned a bit
about
that.
Was this recent, or was this like in February?
This happened a couple days ago.
All right, because it's usually rare to get that type of stuff outside of February.
This was an episode where they travel back in time to the Olympics. And
Okay, yeah.
So anyway, he's watching this episode, and then my kid is just like, he's like, Dad, they go back in time to when people with brown skin were not, the people were mean to them. And I was like, yeah. And I said, I was like, people are still like that today. Yeah. Like, it's gotten better, but as long as you know. And he goes, yeah, I know. And he goes, I'm just glad that I have this color skin. That's what he said. And I was just like, well, I was like, everybody's the same. He goes, no, I know. I just think this is what I wanted, and I'm glad I got it. That's what he said. And I was but at the same time, I'm also like, it's shitty. But he's looking at that, and he's going like, this is wrong. This sucks. I'm so glad I'm white. That's how he was watching.
Jesus.
It.
The best response is, I'm glad you are too. Otherwise, I would have killed your mother in the fucking delivery room. You don't know how close she was to dying.
To be chasing OJ out of the room. We all forget Norberg, man. That's what at the end of the day.
It's the end of the day.
He fucked Frank Drebin's wife.
Norberg!
No, we can't just assume it was him. Do you think he did? Let's take that at what it's at. Did
OJ do it? You know what, John? I'm going to go out on a limb here and say, I think he did. I totally think he did.
Oh, ding, 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 ding.
Hi, you guys. I heard you talking about my genie arm. Yeah, it's still on my arm.
Oh!
It hasn't moved. They haven't taken it off.
It's Jimmy!
It's kind of weird. Okay. Bye now.
That's a deep cut callback to the Professor Ralph.
With the penis on his arm?
Yeah, Jimmy with the Jimmy on his arm. The guy with the penis on his arm.
They haven't taken it off. It's kind of weird. That's what he called about. It's
still there. Thanks for that update, Jimmy.
That was one of my favorite, just going down through that news story, man. The guy who had a penis growing on his arm for a transplant situation. Yeah. Oh, my God. Well, ding, 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 ding.
Yeah, I wish I could remember what episode that is. Was it Professor Ralph, Dr. Ralph?
Yeah, Professor Ralph something.
Oh, yeah, Professor Ralph and the Jimmy arm, maybe. I don't know, something like that.
Well, an old episode, if you want to go back.
Yeah.
If it's even in season 2, 3, or 4, I don't know. If it's season 1, you got to go to Patreon.
No,
Patreon.
It's not season 1. It was pandemics. I remember we recorded that sitting outside
that was
the
after.
Porch.
Oh, okay.
This was right after pandemic.
Okay.
Thank you for calling in, Jimmy. I'm glad to hear you've lost your English accent.
Yeah.
That's good to hear.
Yeah. It's not all bad.
No. Good. Thank you for assimilating. One of us. One of us. One of us.
Thank you, callers. We only have 2 shows left. I can tell you this right now. The next episode is going to be Chris Vert.
Yeah.
A favorite. Yeah. A Christmas time favorite. All year favorite. He tends to do Christmas time, but he and I texted each other at the exact same time. I don't know if you realize that because you caught up with it later. I asked him to be on the podcast because we were ending it, and he asked to be on the podcast because we were ending it, and we texted each other at the exact same moment.
That's beautiful.
Isn't that beautiful?
I don't want to tell you the text I get from Christopher. It's it's happy Mother's, you big cream job. You big cream job milk pussy mommy. I want your big stupid mouth all over my little boy pussy and to slurp up my sticky Japanese pussy pube juice.
Well, if you want to
text me on Mother's Day,
if you want to call into the show, 781-PODSLAP, that's 781-763-7527. Leave us a message. We only have 1 more episode left to record. That last episode, I think, is just going to be you and me.
Yeah, that's it. Should be
2 of us, a house show. We've been asked, are we going to do a big finale, a big live thing? You know, we did our live 420 show. Mm-hmm. That was a blast.
That was.
We think we're just going to close it out nice and quiet.
We just had our big guest on.
That's right.
You know, we're running the paces. You know, we just had Laura on. You can't end the Super Live Adventure without Laura popping back in.
Yeah. But it'll end with the 2 of us.
As it should.
Episode 20 of season 4. I do want to say, because Sal was on this episode, so somebody might be listening for the first time. Welcome. Yeah.
Thank you.
I'm assuming if you're listening.
Now get out!
You're an Impractical Jokers fan. If you want to go back, we just had John Escrabis, mm-hmm. who was a writer on Impractical Jokers,
great
with me.
Episode.
Check out that episode. John is going to be performing with us, along with Joe Imbergio, and James McCarthy is going to be joining us for one of these, the head writer on Impractical Jokers.
I love McCarthy.
We have 2 live shows coming up in August in New Jersey, August 13th
mm-hmm.
and August 30th. So August 13th, we are doing Impractical Jokers Sweet Treats. That's what Q calls us, man. It's the people behind the scenes on Impractical Jokers doing a comedy show. 9 o'clock, August 13th at Harbor Square Theater. And then again, August 30th at 8:30 in Ventnor Square Theater. Details, we'll put a link in the description. You can also go to johnsaluga.com and click on the events because we'll be doing that. We might even be adding shows after we record this. Yeah. So check that out.
Guys,
but that
come see us. Come see the show. It's a fun time, especially if you love IJ.
Yeah, it's a funny group, and it's a lot of behind-the-scenes stories and things like that from the show. So absolutely check that out. We hope you'll come see us. And again, keep the calls coming until the very end, 781-763-7527.
That's right. Real quick, I just want to plug, I was recently on the Dan and Ian Have Questions podcast. You can hear that everywhere. And then I was back with my buddies, Galaxy of Film, talking about some Indiana Jones movies. You could hear that anywhere you hear podcasts. Go check those guys out. All great shows.
Nice.
I had a blast on them.
Yeah. And Sal Vulcano, you know, what does he need from us? Nothing.
No, yeah, he's, you know.
Yeah.
He's got his feet on the
ground. He's fine.
Yeah, he knows what he's doing.
You know, whatever. Check him out if you want. Google Sal.
Just Google Sal.
And you can Google Sal without a last name and get the results you want. He's doing okay.
There's really
you Google John and Chris.
Yeah. Oh, good luck.
Yeah. Yeah. So fuck him. Help us. No, it was awesome hanging out.
Sal.
It was awesome hanging out with him, and it was cool. It really did come full circle. He was one of the first guests.
Yeah. And, you know, I can't, the peeing on him never got brought up, but I'm happy about that.
I get that you're happy about it. I wouldn't, I personally wouldn't mind talking to him about it because I never have, but.
Never have peed on him or never have
never
talked
talk
about
to
it.
Him about it. You guys are, you, that's a very intimate thing you shared. You're
yeah, we have
just kind of like, oh, hey, what's up?
Yeah, peed on
you. I pissed on you. Did he look at your dick?
Probably.
I don't know. See, that's a question.
Oh, yeah, should I ask?
Do you want to ask him that before we leave? Just knock on the door?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm sorry to disturb you while you're working, Sal. Mr. Vulcano.
Yeah, yeah, it's okay. What's up?
When you look down at my dick, how'd it look to you?
I loved it.
All right.
Hey! Yay! All right, everybody. Oh. Well, it's been an episode. Thank you, Sal.
That's it. Thank you. I could sleep at night. I've been wondering for 3 years. Four years.
You finally got an answer.
If he saw my prick and what it looked like.
Yeah, I'm half tempted to knock on the door. The man's working.
Yeah.
But it's goofs and you know, it's jokes and
it's
silly.
Practical joking.
It's silly things.
Yeah. Yeah, you walk in there, there's a bunch of rubber chickens. Fucking snakes popping out of peanut.
All right, let's leave him alone.
Jars.
I need the work. Thank you all for listening.
Thank you for serious, man. You guys are the best. You guys are the fucking heart and soul and the blood that keeps the show pumping. And
absolutely.
We love you every episode. And check out the Patreon as well.
That's right. Until next time.
Fit it
where you shit it.